When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Yeah, but every 6 or 7 minutes, you have to open your yap again and carry on. Another chance for money is coming up in about 3:20. The KFI Cash Refill Contest, $1,000. This is the last week it's going to be held for now. So you want to get in on this. Listen for the keyword in about 15 minutes. Mass shooting last night on the campus of Michigan State University, where the shooter, who ended up killing himself, apparently had no known connections to the school. Let's pick up the whole story with 3 dead. 5 hurt. Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI on this one.
Hey there, guys. Yeah, they're trying to figure out the motive, but we know the MO of this guy, the way he was operating based on writings that they found, and it fits a lot of what we hear in these mass shootings: a loner, an outcast, all of that. But they've got to figure out why last night, why at Michigan State University, why those students. But 43 years old, the shooter walked from the home where he lived with his dad to Michigan State University, opened fire first in an academic hall, then the student union. No known connection to the campus except living close to it. But he had a 3-page document in his pocket, which is going to help try to figure this whole thing out. He laid out a lot about his life, personal grievances about people in different cities, including in Michigan, but also in New Jersey and in Colorado, and police saying today,
we can confirm that all 3 deceased were MSU students. We can also confirm at this time that all 5 of the injured victims at the hospital were also MSU students.
So in that 3-page document, wrote about being often feeling alone, that he was an outcast, a loner, never accepted by others. You know, these are things typically we hear when the shooter is like 18 to 23 years old. This was a 43-year-old. The shooter living with his dad indicating that after his son got busted for a weapons violation in 2019, he tried to get his son to get rid of the gun, and that his son had convinced him that he got rid of it. Apparently he did not. But dad is cooperating now and working with police.
There was a search warrant executed on a residence that was connected to the suspect in this case.
And investigators are telling us clearly seems like the shooter had mental health issues that he was dealing with, and that this may go down that road. Even if he had that, even if he had grievances in Jersey, which, by the way, they locked down schools there today because in the letter there were threats against schools there. Had he planted anything, they had to be worried about that. They didn't find anything. But why Michigan State University? That they don't know. But we know the dead sophomore named Brian Fraser, junior named Ariel Anderson, junior named Alexandria Verner. Their families are beginning to put out statements saying that they were beautiful young men and women. And Brian Fraser, he was in the world of fraternities on campus and was very popular there. But they now they're doing what we see on every one of these, piecing it all together of what led up to it. Was there a trigger? What made him go walk over to that campus and begin firing at people in the academic hall and then the student union? They don't know that yet.
All right, Alex, thank you very much for that report.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI about the Michigan State shooting. And John, the schools he threatened in New Jersey, Ewing Township. You're familiar with that area.
Well, that's where our old radio station was.
Our old radio station was in Ewing Township. Yeah. We came from New Jersey.
In the Trenton area.
So apparently he did have ties to that area where he was threatening to shoot up schools in Ewing Township, New Jersey. But I guess because he was in Michigan and close to this campus, that's where he decided to take out his rage.
Well, let's see. Neighbors described him as a hellraiser.
Hmm.
He practiced target shooting out of his back door.
Mm-hmm.
His father had encouraged his son to get rid of his guns.
Well,
encouraged.
Well, he's 43. You can't make him get rid of his guns.
Let's see. June 2019, he was arrested, charged with carrying a concealed pistol without a concealed carry permit. The charge was a felony, potential of 5 years in prison. He got nothing. He got probation.
Nah.
He also had a magazine in his pocket. So he got nothing for it. And his probation period concluded in May of 2021. And let's see, the excuse for this is it's exceedingly common for someone who doesn't have a criminal history and was carrying a concealed weapon. If everybody went to prison for that, you'd have an overcrowding problem. Well, you'd also have fewer people getting shot to death in these mass shootings. So you kind of have to choose what's more important here.
Yeah. I had read that he had some sort of strong religious convictions or something like that. I don't know if that entered into the shooting, but
I haven't seen that. He was living in a 960 square foot home owned by his dad, and his son's demeanor changed after his mother died about 2 years ago. Well, I mean, it's very sad to lose mom, but when you're 41, you really do have to handle that.
Adding to this, the usual call for gun control. There is a Democratic majority whip in the state of Michigan by the name of Ranjiv Puri, who put out a statement after the shootings, which said, bleep your thoughts and prayers. The F word.
I'm for that.
I know you hate that thoughts and prayers but his was, we got to do something about the guns. I'm tired of the thoughts and prayers.
Here, hold on. I have an idea. How about when a guy is arrested for illegal possession of a gun, you give him the full five-year sentence? That was in 2019. He would have still been in prison. Now he wouldn't have been around to shoot up Michigan State.
And it might have sent the message to him that you can't be hanging on to guns like this instead of just a slap on the wrist.
What I don't get, this is never explained. We bring this up every few weeks because there's so many shootings. How come this anti-gun crowd is also anti-prosecuting people when they are guilty of gun crimes?
Well, that's Gascon. I don't know if they're
Well, obviously in Michigan, he had a gun. It should have been 5 years in prison. Instead, he got 18 months probation. Bad idea.
They blame the guns, not the person.
Blame the guns and the person. How about that?
This is why we're at a standoff on so many issues, like the mentally ill, the homeless, and now the mass shooters, because this other side is like, no, it's never the person. It's something about society we need to change. That's how they feel.
That's not going to happen. Well, then enjoy all the shootings that are going to happen, because that's not going to change. You're never going to convince the people who want to own guns and want other people to own guns. You're never going to get them to change their mind. In fact, every one of these shootings makes people feel even more strongly that they ought to have a gun and that they want somebody to have a gun in situations like this. Yeah. People are buying guns to defend themselves because the crime is run amok all over the place. Yeah, I know, you know, people have done that just in the last few years. There are several people who bought guns, and they said because L.A.'s crazy.
And I thought of that this morning. I said, if I'm ever in a place where this starts to happen, I hope there is a guy there with a gun that stops the shooter.
Yeah.
It's not going to be me, or at least not yet.
So that whole idea is dead on arrival. You're not repealing the Second Amendment. You're not getting people to give up the rights to their guns. Never going to happen. Not in your lifetime. So if that's what you're going to do, stand. I suspect most of those politicians say that out loud because it raises money.
All right. Next is another keyword. The cash refill contest on KFI continues. Your chance at $1,000. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Okay, well, we're coming up in a few weeks on what will be the three-year anniversary of the end of logical civilization as we knew it. This was the COVID lockdown that began heavy in March of 2020. And what we're getting now, 3 years later, are reports of the fallout from the great lockdown. The latest came from the CDC. The pandemic took a harsh toll on teen girls' mental health. 60% reported feeling overwhelming feelings of persistent sadness or hopelessness. And of course, with that came fears that they might take their own lives. Not 60% felt that way, but it certainly had. It's actually 30%.
Yeah. Good work.
Seriously considered attempting suicide.
Good work, all you obnoxious bullies who insisted that we had to lock all our children and not teach them for a year and a half. Teachers Union ought to be proud. You got 60% of the teenage girls who are suffering severely.
And again,
from depression.
The COVID toll on people this age was very, very, very minor, right? This was about the elderly and people with all these compromising underlying conditions.
Yeah.
Yet, I think it was instilled on some of the younger people, oh my God, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Don't leave your room.
Yeah. And because all the teachers decided they wanted a year and a half not to work, they didn't care about the emotional damage their stupid, selfish decisions did to the kids they were supposed to teach. Even mental illness among teenage boys was up significantly as well. But the girls are more than double. It's like 60-30. And on top of that, they spent a lot of time indoors just staring at all the social media sewage.
Yeah, a lot of screen time.
Yeah, a lot of TikTok and Instagram, and you see how everybody else is prettier and thinner and more popular than you are, and it just destroyed their brains.
Yeah, and I think the case could be made here, particularly when it comes to teens, that girls are really more sociable and do the outreach and the association with other people.
And it hurts them more when they can't have it. It means much more to them than it is for guys. I'm telling you, it was a two-pronged attack from China. They sent us the COVID to lock us inside and then got all our teenagers addicted to their stupid TikTok until everybody was suicidal.
And the other fallout from that is that some girls got the whole body image problem from social media, believing that they have to look like that because they're looking at the latest video and feeling that if I don't look like that, nobody likes me, nobody loves me.
Social media is a social cancer, especially for teenage girls. Right. I mean, when you're talking about 60%, I mean, can you believe we did that? And I can't believe how so sure. And you know what? The grown-up women were most sure that we were supposed to lock down and we were supposed to close schools. Most teachers are women. And look what you did to your daughters. Look what you did to the girls you were supposed to teach. Just destroyed them emotionally.
Yeah, and these results were apparently across all racial, ethnic lines.
Mm, yeah.
20% of these girls reported experiencing rape or other sexual violence in the previous year, an increase over previous years. And I don't know how that's connected so much to the lockdowns or just condition.
I think it made everybody crazy. I think it made a lot of guys crazy. That's part of the reason there's so much violence out there now. I think it had this collective traumatic effect on everybody's mental well-being.
On their psyche.
Because everything they knew was gone. Everything. Couldn't work. You're supposed to be terrified just going to the store. You couldn't go to school. Couldn't meet with friends. Couldn't go to a party. Couldn't travel very much. You know, unless you had a lot of money to buy your way out of it. I think it was awful. I mean, it wasn't that bad for people during World War II because they still had their freedoms. It's the same thing during the Great Depression. As awful as that time was, at least you were in control of what you did all day.
Right. This kind of overreaction to COVID was responsible for really putting people in a bad state.
Can you imagine trying to explain this to the pro-lockdown freaks at the time, if you even whispered something about that you shouldn't be, there shouldn't be a lockdown, it's going to hurt people. Well, you want to kill grandmothers?
There was chatter behind the scenes about the effect on mental health. But everyone was like, it's more important to make sure they survive this pandemic than to worry about their mental health. Right. We'll deal with that later.
Yeah.
Well, we're starting to deal with it now.
Yeah. And the only people that were dying to begin with were the elderly and the people who were overweight and diabetic.
This brings us back to what we've been talking about almost the last hour. What are we going to do about all the mental health problems in this country? It's just like...
Nothing.
Become overwhelming.
No, everything is acting out now. We're seeing what's happening.
A majority of people are doing fine, but we're seeing more problems with homelessness and mass shootings, and now this report on suicidal thoughts of teenagers, and I'm like, wow, what a fallout we're having.
It's a much smaller majority than it was, though.
People are just not coping. But I think, you know, what you just touched on, the depression, the war, back then there was such an existential threat that people couldn't focus so much on themselves. And, I feel sad, and I feel low, and I feel down, and nobody likes me.
Plus it's
Back then, there was just so many things you had to do just to survive that you didn't have time to really think about yourself so much.
And it's a narcissistic culture.
And that's what happens when people are isolated like this during lockdowns. All they do is focus on their own problems and their own self. And I could really get out of whack with a perspective of what's really going on. So it's... really, really awful. All right. When we return, well, we haven't talked about this fella in a while, and he's in the news for two different reasons. We're talking about the man where there was a lot of talk a year or two ago that, you know, if Biden falters, this is our guy for president. It's the illustrious transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg. And we're going to talk about one thing he is speaking out on and another thing he's not speaking out on and should be doing more on as transportation secretary, because it's really affecting some people in Ohio. We'll give you the details on all this when we return. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app.
Hey, a chance to tell you that the Moist Line is back in 3 days. We always take your calls 24/7. It's very exciting. You can use the iHeart Radio app, a microphone icon, to leave a message. Call the toll-free number to do it too, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, we haven't talked about the illustrious Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, in a while, but he's in the news on two fronts, which tells you a lot of what's wrong with a lot of people in politics.
A lot of what's wrong with him.
He was out there telling the National Association of Counties that government infrastructure projects should be done by teams of workers who ethnically look like the neighborhood in which they work. This is not an onion joke. This is not satire. He actually made a speech that you should hire people that match the demographics of the neighborhood, specifically race.
Well, why is that? Why would we have to do that?
I've never heard this one.
No.
I've heard people say, well, the fire department should match the community in terms of the ethnic makeup, but I've never heard someone saying, like, the people that are working on a bridge or an overpass, hire them in proportion
to
the color of the community?
There's no reason for that.
This is really insanity.
No, the project goes to whatever company it goes to. And those are the hired workers. They have the experience.
Well, then they have to figure out which workers they can put on the job to match the neighborhood's makeup.
Well, what if there aren't enough?
I don't know.
Are they the best workers? I don't understand. I don't understand this. This is completely irrelevant and silly. It doesn't matter.
Remember last year he said that interstate highways are racist? I mean, this guy's really just...
Yeah, I know. He's not going
over the edge.
He's not going to be president.
He's also a boring blob.
Yeah, he's this foolish. I don't remember him trying to act this woke in his little.
When he ran for president,
It's like he's doing like a bad imitation woke campaign here, where he's coming up with racial quotas for construction crews to match the neighborhood. How do you even think of that stuff?
But that brings us to the real story that you think the Secretary of Transportation would be doing more and saying more about, and that's that train derailment that happened along the Ohio-Pennsylvania border on February 3rd. This train was carrying what the Washington Post describes as a broad array of toxic chemicals. And they're still trying to figure out what caused it. Somebody said there might have been a fire or some sort of smoke coming out of the brakes on the train. But this community is really nervous. Of course, as we look, the EPA says, we've tested the air. Everything's fine. But
yeah, they did that after 9/11, too. And you know how many hundreds of firefighters and police officers and other rescue workers have gotten terribly sick and died from inhaling the air around 9/11? The World Trade Center, the EPA just went out and lied because they needed the workers to show up there and clean up the mess.
One of the really bad chemicals is vinyl chloride. Have you heard of that one? It's amazing that I would not even want to be in the business of having to transport stuff like this. They were afraid that the train cars would explode. They thought they might send shrapnel into neighborhoods, so they decided to release and burn the vinyl chloride. That sent dangerous gases, hydrogen chloride and something called phosgene, into the air. Have you ever heard of phosgene?
And local animals are falling dead.
Is that true?
They are, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because it's too toxic for a little animal. You should be on this case.
Ethylene glycol monobutyl was there. Ethyl hexyl acylate. Isobutylene and butyl... What is it? Butyl acylate also were on this train. Some of these chemicals, the chemicals were breached in the crash.
Yeah,
the primary chemicals were vinyl chloride and butyl acrylate.
Here's a headline. Animals are dropping dead. Are humans safe? And it's over.
Isn't this what Buttigieg should be up front and center about instead of lecturing people on who they hire to do a bridge project?
No. He's analyzing the shade of construction workers' skin.
While people may be dying from dangerous chemicals being released by a train derailment.
So the residents are getting headaches and nausea. People have to evacuate their children. One resident said six of her chickens died.
Oh.
They were in perfectly fine health.
They just dropped?
Yeah. As soon as they started this burn, the chickens slowed down and died. Dead frogs, dead fish in the local streams.
The NTSB has to wait until the tank cars are fully decontaminated to get a closer look at what may have caused this. But there's a report this afternoon that videos showing the train prior to derailing, it appears to be a wheel bearing in the final stage of overheat failure moments before the derailment.
Erin Brockovich is on the case.
Oh, is she really?
Well, she said they're telling people they can return to their homes, that it's safe. At the same time, the government is sending a legal notice to the rail operator over environmental contamination. This is why people don't trust the government, she said. You can't tell people that there's been hazardous pollution contaminating the environment while at the same time say all is well.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's just typical.
They're worried about the fish in the waterways. There are nearly 3,500 fish across 12 different species in the Ohio waterways.
I think
a bunch of them died.
Vinyl chloride to make PVC piping.
Oh, yeah.
Among a million other things.
That's not pretty. I mean, I'm glad the world advanced to come up with all ways to build things better, but you got to be careful of exactly what's some of these and how you handle them.
Here's one of the chemicals burning, ethylene glycol monobutyl ether. You get headaches, vomiting, nervous system depression, irritation in the eyes, skin, nose, and throat, and blood in the urine. That's not good.
And I'm looking at a story that vinyl chloride can cause a very, very dangerous form of cancer.
Oh, long term, it definitely causes cancers. Everybody should clear out of there. Do not listen to the government. Get a lawyer and start suing.
Erin Brockovich to the rescue.
Yeah, that's what you need here.
Yeah, it's a known human carcinogen, vinyl chloride.
Brain cancer.
You're right, it's used to make PVC piping.
Brain cancer, lung cancer, blood cancer.
Duh.
It was liquid vinyl chloride. Also makes credit cards, furniture, and car parts.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Buttigieg is worried about construction diversity. Bozo.
Well, taking another look at one of our big stories this afternoon, is Dianne Feinstein going to retire or not? Today, a statement was put out that Dianne Feinstein had decided not to seek re-election. Now, a statement is just a document that's issued. Later on in the day, Feinstein was approached by reporters and appeared to be unaware that the retirement announcement was made. Now, there's one of two ways this can go. She wasn't aware because she forgot, or they didn't tell her. And now she's trying to play coy with reporters by saying, I haven't made a decision. Then a staffer says, no, your retirement statement went out. It did?
She forgot. Oh. Wait, Deborah's left.
That's not live, Deborah Martin.
No, it's Feinstein saying, I'm not retiring.
Yeah, she forgot. Because what I've read is that's what life is like with her. She forgets seconds after the conversation.
Right. I imagine at some point they put together the retirement statement and then they picked the date to put it out and she forgot that. And wasn't updated on it today at any point, and she gets cornered by reporters and it's like, oh, that went out already, huh?
If the brain cells that carry the and record the information are no longer functioning or no longer there, do you ever wonder, isn't it magical that we have memory at all? Don't you ever wonder how this works?
Oh, I see the brain and retaining.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least when we see, it used to be we could visually see recordings, right, on magnetic tape, audio tape, or videotape.
Yes.
Or film. You could see how it works, kind of. But this is I've always been fascinated on how we remember what we remember and why our brains choose to remember some things and not other things.
A spokesperson said this afternoon, the senator approved it going out today, just confusion on timing. The senator was out of the office for votes and a meeting and lunch and more votes when the announcement was sent.
They're going to pretend that she's not senile.
Of course they
released these stupid statements. Well, the senator, stop it.
Because she actually did an interview an hour after the statement went out and said, oh, no, I haven't decided anything yet. I will one day.
Right.
Oh, it's so sad. All right, now we turn to, Ukraine and Russia. We don't talk about them enough, do we, John?
No.
And just about a week or so, we're going to have the one-year anniversary of the invasion. The president of the Russian Republic of Chechnya, his name is Ramzan Kadyrov, said his top general in Ukraine almost died from an attempted poisoning after handling an envelope. That's a good old way to do somebody in, right?
Yeah.
Isn't what happened on Seinfeld to the girlfriend of George? She licked an envelope and died, like a wedding invitation envelope, but that wasn't murder. Kadyrov said that Apti Adaludov, who commands special forces, picked up a letter on February 8th that was saturated with a substance with a strong smell. And he, along with other people who came into contact with the envelope, were treated by medical staff. Serious consequences apparently were avoided. Oh, I'm looking at the picture of the Chechen president. Oh my gosh, what a beard. It looks diabolical. But they're now going to investigate this assassination attempt. And so who may have been behind this?
Chechnya is working for Russia?
Yeah, they are. They're, yes.
Okay.
Because Russia has taken over.
So had this guy screwed up? Because this is what Putin does.
Or was this the Ukraine somehow tried to kill him?
Yeah, that's possible, too. That's the thing.
It
could be either side, because Putin gets mad at you for something, and then you get poisoned or you get
thrown. The letter said, you won the contest. Open immediately.
You may have already won $1 million.
That's right.
Something bad happened.
Don't throw this away. Look now.
You get tossed out a window. You get run over by a truck.
Yeah, apparently this guy, this Chechnya guy, says that the Russian invasion of Ukraine is a holy war against the satanic values of the West. Yes, he's an ally of Russia.
Wow.
So his special forces guy in Ukraine.
These guys don't realize how comical they are. A holy war?
Yeah, a holy war against the satanic values of the West. That's what,
says that with a straight face.
The Ayatollahs in Iran used to say that. We were the great Satan.
Right,
how they portrayed us all the time in for their people.
I heard Putin a week or two ago give a whole speech about all the Nazis in the Ukrainian government. He was telling his people in Russia, you know, justifying the war.
Oh.
And the expense and why, you know, 100,000 of their sons are dead. It's to fight the Nazis.
The Nazis. Yeah, the Nazis. That theory.
And this and the satanic
Now it's a satanic followers. Thing.
All right. Conway's here.
Hey now. I don't know if you guys talked, I imagine you did, about Pete Buttigieg is going to match the color of the workers to the area you
yes,
live in.
Yes, we were just discussing that.
Oh, is that right? Okay, all right. Well, I was prepping in the other room. I would have listened for sure. But here's where they're going to run into a problem.
Yes.
They're replacing a road in Beverly Hills, and they say to the crew, geez, just not enough white guys on the crew.
No. Da-dump.
That's going to be a major problem.
Good luck finding them.
Yeah, major problem when that happens. S is going to hit the fan when that goes down. Or there's not enough Jewish guys, right? Are they going to go into religion? Or Catholic guys? Or
are
Protestant
you stereotyping
guys?
Beverly Hills now?
I don't know, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, demographics are demographics.
Demographics. Look,
just look up the census.
Ding dong. Google. Oh, look at Mark Thompson's in town.
Hey. Oh, what a pleasure.
Hold your applause, please.
Okay. Look at you, buddy.
We will.
Okay. Nice job.
And Mark Thompson's going to talk about how great his life is. I think he lost $10,000 in the Super Bowl.
Oh, it did not go well.
And really?
I chased my first half losses with live betting for the second half, and they went even worse.
Oh,
I can't lose every bet, can I? Yeah, apparently you can lose every bet. I literally lost every bet.
So you just kept making more and more bad bets throughout the
here,
game.
Once Mahomes went down, I thought, okay, this game is done. Now I got to go the other way. So I load up on the Eagles. And as I recall, they didn't win.
How many individual bets did you make?
Maybe. I mean, the big bets, I made about 12.
And how many?
Which brings me to the hour two when I'm actually pitching the audience for money.
And how many of those bets did you win?
I won none. I won two little bets. Little bets. I won two. I lost 10, won two.
That's great, buddy.
You all two right. are a pair.
I'm so used to being a loser, though. That's what Conway and I have in common.
That's great.
When do you guys bond?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the GoFundMe page for Mark is what? You have the
That's right. We'll start on that immediately.
I would never ask for that.
The Gamblers Anonymous, buddy.
There needs to be an intervention.
Not so anonymous, I guess, anymore.
I'd rather be a gambler than anonymous.
Really? Thank God.
Conway and Thompson.
All right, come on.
Yeah. Good show.
Broke. Crozier's got the news live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of ExoJackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, ExoJackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at ExoJackie.com. Made for women by women.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.